Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Freedom Fiends live on a Sunday. Yes, we do work on Sundays. It is June 23rd. I'm Nima Vidotti, and we've also got Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America in Beast Lick, Wyoming, which is down the street from Beast Lake, Wyoming, a great salt lake of Wyoming. And Beast Lick is this little town where there's all these natural salt formations, and the deer and the antelope come out to play, and they lick the salt licks, the natural salt lick. So it's called Beast Lick, Wyoming. That's where I am, and that's my story. Yes. I'm sticking to it.
Yes.
Only the government. Only the government knows for sure where I really am. I have my own. I have my own drone now. They have the Michael drone just watching me. I don't think it's armed yet.
Look
but it's,
at you.
Yeah, I always imagine I see it over my house. You know, about a.
That's when you know you've really made it.
Quarter mile area. Yeah. I have my own drone. I'm a star of Liberty Radio.
Woo! Yeah. And so today we were going to go on sort of a cultural history lesson. Michael assigned homework to all you fiends yesterday. Told you to watch the film called Return Engagement, where LSD advocate and cultural icon Timothy Leary sort of has a spoken word tour with former FBI
establishment icon
G. Gordon Liddy. Yes. Although the title isn't really evocative of anything. It's kind of a throwaway title. It's Return Engagement. Which who knows what that means, man? That's dumb. So I decided to take it upon myself to rebrand the whole thing to make it sexier. Maybe it'll get more than 200 views now. The new title, the working title, is Murder and Acid, The Road to Now.
Yeah, and it's kind of accurate in a way because G. Gordon Liddy talks about, his part of his job description was murder for the government. Unaccountable, untraceable, illegal, extra legal. And he bragged about it. He liked it. He was like, yeah, that's what I do. I kill people. And he was part of
also bragged about being the modern day Abraham. I started with part three, and he was being interviewed by this journalist woman. I don't really know what her relationship is to the film, but she was in there a lot, interviewing both Leary and Liddy. And he goes on to say, you know, are you asking me would I kill my own son? And the answer is yes in certain situations is basically what he says. And his own wife too. And he says, if she became a traitor to this country, which what he really means is a traitor to the state, the federal government in Washington, D.C.
I mean, I don't even know what his definition of for the country is because, the things that he did, spying on people and planning the assassinations of people, were at the behest of the president, of Nixon. And, you know, is that legal? Is that what people are elected to do? People always say, well, but to be clear, we're not a democracy. We're a
representative democracy, republic.
Republic, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is also true. They were saying yesterday on a Free Talk Live, so is Iran and China, theoretically. You know, they are republics. Yeah. It's often said by conservatives or constitutionalists as a correction, like, hey, we're not a democracy. We're not one of those filthy things. We are a representative republic democracy.
Or constitutional republic is what they say. Yeah, and you're right. Iran is. And hey, it's in the name. It's Islamic Republic of Iran. And it was in the name of the Soviet Union, United Soviet Socialist Republic.
And it's in the name of like every warlord country in Africa going back 100 years. They're all the People's Democratic Republic of one guy who murders people and cuts off their head and eats them.
But it was mind-blowing to me to hear Liddy say that,
he didn't say
I'm the Abraham. But yeah, that's what I got from it because, you know, here at the Freedom Fiends, we talk about how status and statism is the new religion. And this sort of summed it up is he put himself in the shoes of Abraham in the Old Testament. And if the God of the state tells him to kill his own kid, he says, okay, yeah, when do I do it? Now? Now? With what weapon?
I don't think he would even wait for the state to tell him. It would just be the God of the state in his heart.
You're right.
Yeah, he didn't seem very accountable in any of this. It was kind of like you ever see that movie Antitrust where there's the Tim Robbins plays the evil corporate type exaggerated cartoon version of like Bill Gates, but with murder.
What do you think?
Well, he would say things like, you know, surprise me, think creatively. That's what he would tell his henchmen. He wouldn't say, go commit murder for me and kill this guy. You know, they'd be like, well, there's this guy who's about to expose some of your trade secrets. And he'd say, what do you want us to do? And he'd say, surprise me, or be creative, or think outside the box, which basically meant murder him, but I don't want to know about it, man. Just get rid of the problem, which is kind of what I think Liddy's job description was. He was talking in this movie about how when he got caught with the Watergate break-in, he was planning on killing Jack Anderson, who was a journalist who had – he was kind of like the Snowden of his time, but not even nearly as sweeping as what Snowden did. But he was revealing some of the fact that the government was spying on the Russians, basically, which everyone knew anyway. But he was releasing the fact that the CIA could listen in real time over radio channels of people, you know, of Soviet bigwigs in their car phones talking to other Soviet bigwigs. And I mean, that wouldn't even be news. I think you could have assumed that, but he broke that fact as journalism and they planned to kill him. And Liddy was in the process of meeting with a CIA assassin to kill him when he got caught with the Watergate thing. Now, he's often called the head of the Watergate plumbers. Now, a lot of people think they were actually like called to go in as plumbers and went in undercover as plumbers. That's not it. Plumbers was the nickname for them because their job was patching leaks of information in the Nixon administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a sense of humor sometimes, don't they?
He's funny and he's really hyper smart and he's really mercenary in every way I can say that. And some people like that. I mean, he talks about how he didn't marry his wife for love. He married her because she was a math genius working on computer algorithms for early mainframe computers.
Well, the first thing he says about his wife is, well, she's 5'9". That's the first thing he says. Yeah. It's her exact height.
He married her for her genes to produce the progeny. And he said that. He wanted to have smart, tall, beautiful progeny. And then basically he cheated on her openly, and people who hold him up as a paragon of conservative values, as a conservative superhero, what about that, man? He was cheating on his wife, telling her about it, and she wasn't happy about it, but was still married to him. I mean, that's voluntary, I guess, for her to stay, although I don't know. Would you want to divorce G. Gordon Liddy, a guy who brags about planning murders of people?
Well, I guess what my take on that whole thing is at least he's honest. You know, yeah. I don't see anything inherently wrong with choosing a partner on any metrics. But the thing is, people usually aren't honest with themselves, their partner, or anybody else about it. He at least came right out and said, well, she's 5'9", her dad was a champion athlete, and she's a math genius.
And you know, used her to produce some progeny, and now I'm on to younger, right, prettier women.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah, but you know, I think it would be worse to be a hypocrite about it and be like, "Well, I'm all for God and family," and then go have your prostitute on the side, and then it's a scandal when that breaks because you were a liar about it.
I just wanted
it was almost a sort of a self-defensive, preemptive strike against the people who were out him for being a hypocrite.
It was applying military operation ideology to a marriage, basically. From start to current, you know, in that. And this guy's still alive. He's out there. I hope he's listening. We actually took his place on several stations. He retired as a talk radio host a few years ago. He was really entertaining. You didn't know who he was when I showed you the video. Who'd you think it was?
Burt Reynolds. I was like, that dude has a mustache for radio.
Yeah. And you didn't know who Timothy Leary was. You're like, I don't know what that is. You thought it was Dennis Leary I was talking about, who's like young enough to be Leary's son. Leary died a few years back, and I mean, he was a World War II vet. He was that old. And to put him in a cultural place, he was a household name in the 60s. He kind of got tied to this, the king of LSD, but that was just the headline. That was really a small part of what he was. He was hyper intelligent, very future looking, got most things right, got a few things wrong. Was politically a libertarian for sure. I mean, he uses that term in there. He talks about how the state And he uses that term. The state is the biggest impediment to liberty. He says that.
Well, I wrote down exactly where in the video he says that. If you want to hear it in his words, I would be able to play that.
Yes, please do.
You want me to go for that? Okay.
Let's While you cue that. It up, I want to say that at some point they'll probably reinstate the Fairness Doctrine, which is the thing where on talk radio or on radio, if you have one political view, you have to give equal time to the other political view. I think the Fiends will satisfy that in every episode because we criticize the left and the right equally because they're both wrong about all the same stuff. You got
exactly.
it?
Let's see. God, YouTube really needs a better.
So, you know, there's a quote. Basically, the whole premise today is good conservatives versus bad conservatives. Liddy, we think, is a bad conservative. We're going to talk about some good conservatives later. And we're going to talk about what went wrong from the 60s to now. And a lot of conservatives blame it on the hippies and people like Leary. And I mean, I tried to go hear Timothy Leary speak at a nearby college when I was 16. And I had a ride and it was with responsible people and they weren't going to be smoking LSD in the car with me. It was people my dad knew, you know, people my dad knew. And he wouldn't let me go.
They weren't going to take four marijuanas and you'd have to be worried about them overdosing.
Yes.
Yes. Four whole marijuanas.
And, yeah, my dad wouldn't let me go, and he was like, no, I don't want you to hear that guy speak. Think about that. Think about, I don't want you to hear the words of that person who's contrary to my core values. And
well, it reminds me of something Stalin said. I think it was Stalin. Maybe it was Lenin. One of those old Soviet goons or tyrants, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said, ideas are more powerful than guns, and I won't let my citizens have guns.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a funny extrapolation on the pen is mightier than the sword, and therefore you don't get to have pens or swords.
Yeah, or swords.
You know, speaking of progeny and Stalin, you know, Stalin's daughter, Svetlana, hated communism and defected to America. And actually, there was some connection with Liddy, with the handling of her. And also Liddy, Jack Donaghy, the paragon of conservatism on 30 Rock, his daughter is named Elizabeth after Elizabeth Lemon, but the nickname for her is Liddy after G. Gordon Liddy because Jack Donaghy looks up to Liddy and is actually close personal friends with him in that universe, I believe.
Right. But okay, so I've got it queued up. Timothy Leary. How do you spell his name? Because on the YouTube, it's
L-E-A-R-Y. T-I-M. I don't know.
No, his first name. All right. Well,
We're going to the market. And you can get your act together. And when we get back, when YouTube can get its act together, and when we get back, we will play this.
Yes.
Timothy Leary. Bit.
Yes.
On radio.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, not your dad's talk radio.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's BolaVPN at BolaVPN.net.
Yo, it's the Freedom Fiends. Y'all already know what it is. So we are back from the market. If you are just joining us, we are discussing some cultural history, specifically a film that came out in the 80s that was sort of a spoken word tour with both Timothy Leary and G. Gordon Liddy. The title of it is Return Engagement, but we at the Fiends have rebranded it so it'd have be a little bit more of a poppy, catchy title. And that catchy title is Murder and Acid, The Road to Now.
And it's more accurate, too. I mean, Return Engagement sounds like a series, but there's no series called that.
Sounds
it's
like
really
the subtitle to a James Bond movie or something.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So you were saying in the last segment that Timothy Leary was kind of ideologically at least, a libertarian. And some people might go, no, I thought the lefties loved him. But here's a clip that I think is making you say that.
Another point, though, too, is that the hippies – in general, the kind of whole mood of the thing before the politicians got a hold of it was more libertarian and less liberal.
It was when you added the state into the mix that it soured it, like the state sours everything it's added to.
I mean, the hippie saying of, you know, do whatever you want as long as it doesn't hurt anybody is the basis of libertarianism. But the hippies then tacked on, or politicians glommed onto it and said, do whatever you want as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, and get the government to do it all for you, which hurts people. So that's what happened. And literally, Leary had amazing ideas and was very visionary, and just put aside the LSD thing for a while, because that really was just the headline to, you know, that's what the press picked up on. But he did a lot of other stuff with computers and space research and forward thinking, and was just a brilliant guy. And really, really had a good sense of morality, I would say, of real morality, not of, oh my God, he's doing what he doesn't want. You know, I've heard a saying that a lot of conservatives want to legislate America back to being a painting by Norman Rockwell. If you don't know who that is, Norman Rockwell painted all these magazine covers in the 30s and 40s and 50s that showed like a really common one. I'm sure you've seen a postcard of it or even a parody of it somewhere. It's like, you know, an old-fashioned American family serving Thanksgiving dinner with the whole family, an extended family at this long table, and all the children are smiling, and nobody has purple hair, and there's American flags, and, you know, one of the sons is returning, you know, and he's in his military uniform, and that's the America. Like George Bush once said, I want America to be more like the Waltons and less like the Simpsons. And the Waltons was a TV show about a family dealing with adversity in the Depression. And actually the Simpsons responded with having Bart write on the blackboard in the right after that. We're a lot like the Waltons. We're both waiting for a depression to end.
Oh, burn.
Yeah. But I love the idea of people wanting to preserve their family values, but I hate the idea of trying to do it with legislation, because that ends up having it's evil, it's immoral, and it has unintended consequences. The unintended consequences are when you do things like outlaw cussing in rock and roll records instead of just not buying them and not letting your kids buy them. When you try to outlaw them, that's an example of something that actually a bunch of Democrats did, but it was Al Gore's wife. When you do things like that, the next bunch of people in office who have completely different values from you can take those laws and use them against you. And that's where Nixon paved the way. Nixon and Liddy paved the way for Obama in a lot of ways. And if you are a conservative who's upset, like most conservatives are, at the revelation that Obama's NSA is spying on everybody, it's not Obama's NSA. It's Nixon and Liddy's NSA. It goes back to that. And a lot of the stuff that G. Gordon Liddy did led to the acceptability of the government doing things like what they're doing now. So if you liked Liddy's radio show and you hate Obama spying on you, it's a big contradiction you need to look at, because Liddy paved the way for that.
Although one of the interesting things I was thinking about Nixon is people call him, you know, the worst president ever, and he's got this really bad reputation. But he left.
Yeah.
You know, when he was called out on what he did wrong, he was like, all right, you got me, guys. Goodbye. you know, tyrants don't do that these days.
Bush and Obama have both done far worse things than Nixon did on a daily basis than what Nixon did and got kicked out of office for, or driven out of office for. And literally, the news this week of what the NSA is doing is basically the NSA is doing to every 340 million Americans. They're doing to every American what Nixon was doing to a couple people in the Democratic Party and had to leave the presidency for.
Right. Well, like Snowden has said, you know, they want to be able to have everything you've ever done on record. So if they ever want to, they can go back and scrutinize every decision you made. And this is everybody. And it's just in case, just so they have that on you. Can you think of the power that that has? It's just a horrible thing.
When you're a kid in school, they said everything you do is written in your permanent record. And really, the permanent record is the government these days.
And we'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons
on the
Freedom. Yes.
Yeah.
We indeed are. This is the Freedom Fiends. In case you couldn't tell, we are back.
Yeah, we're live.
And live. We're going to talk about things because this is a radio show, and that's what you do on radio shows. So we were talking about Return Engagement, a.k.a. Murder and Acid, the film from the 80s about Timothy Leary and G. Gordon Liddy. Now, during the 60s and 70s, Leary was arrested often enough to see the inside of 29 different prisons worldwide.
Wow.
Nixon described Leary as, quote, the most dangerous man in America. Now, isn't that projection, Mr. Nixon?
That's like a blessing from the Pope, man. I want to be that. Where's mine?
What was so dangerous? Well, it was ideas like this. We're going to play this clip of Leary, and this is the man that Nixon said was so dangerous.
We have to have social organizations. I believe in bridge clubs, I believe in families, I believe in friends, I believe in stock groups, I believe in collectives, I believe in corporations, I believe in corporations. Sure, I endorse all that. I think these groups have to make laws which govern traffic lights and every other aspect of our life. But there's one form, see, you can drop out of all those, you can move from any of these organizations, even family you can, but there's one form of organization which is involuntary, and that's the modern state. Now, every state in the world, America included, is a mafia. Because once you get in it, they won't let you out. Now, I love America. America's the greatest mafia of them all. But still, they say, we own this turf, and you know, you have to pay extortion fees called taxes. But I give no rights to the state. The state has only the rights that we individuals, moving in groups together, give it. And there's no God-given obligation on our part to blindly accept the laws of the state. Let's definitely restrict them.
What I'm doing in my
life. Yeah.
So that's it. The state is the mafia. Taxes are extortion. Yep. Voluntary organizations are fine. If you have a voluntary organization deciding the traffic lights, that's fine. You know, it's funny to me that he brings up these sort of examples, and I wonder, is it that the state is so much more prevalent in that it has its hands in everything? Pretty much every decision we make has some sort of state involvement these days. Was it less so back then?
First of all, I love that the president of the United States, the guy who has the power to use enough nukes to kill everyone on planet Earth 8 or 10 or 20 or times, whatever it was in the 60s, that guy can call someone who's never probably, you know, aggressed on anyone, the most dangerous man in America. Think about that. Marinate on that. Mm-hmm. Also, that whole spiel of Leary's right there would not be out of place coming out of our mouths or anyone on Free Talk Live's mouth or, you know, any of the great libertarian writers that you like.
Like Spooner or Rothbard or
I mean, that
Mises.
Could have been a quote from any of those people, pretty much in those words. And that was what made Leary the most dangerous man in America. It wasn't the LSD because, you know, the CIA was using LSD and trying to make it into a weapon. So you can't really say the government hates LSD. The government hates LSD the same way the government hates guns. They hate unregulated citizen ownership of them. Yes. But, you know, the government loves to have all the guns and all the LSD. The government gave LSD to U.S. soldiers. Okay, think about this. Think about if... Support the troops, man. How is that supporting the troops? Dosing soldiers, young men, unwittingly with mind-bending drugs that scare the hell out of them because they think they're going insane. They don't. It's not like when you take a drug because you want to. It's you're dosed with it. And people jumped out of windows. There was and they actually used it as a weapon on a scientist who was going to whistleblow about some government activity that he didn't agree with when he was involved in it. He was kind of a Snowden of his time. They gave him LSD and either pushed him out a window or he jumped out a window. It's not clear, but that's fact. So the government didn't hate LSD. They just hated people having LSD and using it for recreation and enlightenment. Leary also talks about how LSD was a threat because monotheistic religions, whether it's Christianity, Islam, Judaism, basically, you know, there's great ideas and behind those religions, but when they become institutionalized, they turn into we want to have the path to enlightenment and a monopoly on it. And anything that maybe gives you an inkling of enlightenment without the church's sanction or going through the man in the fancy uniform at the front of the room, that's a threat. And Nixon didn't like it. Nixon was a Quaker, but he was a really bad Quaker. Not like our friend, the bad Quaker, Ben Stone, who's a bad Quaker because he's armed and into self-defense.
Right. I guess the thing is, you know, Leary's not perfect on this. He mentions corporations in one of his voluntary organizations that he likes. And, you know, to an extent, but the bad things about corporations, the things about corporation that the Occupy people hate so much, don't stem from the voluntary aspects of the corporation at all. They extend from the state-granted protections that couldn't exist in a free society on a corporation. The fact that the state limits the liability to where the people who run the corporation aren't on the hook if they lie or make bad decisions and screw their investors out of millions of dollars. The person who made that decision doesn't lose his house, doesn't lose his car. The state protects him.
Now, we don't belie or belittle anyone. We don't hate anyone who has a corporation because you have to play the game in America.
You have to play the game. And it's self-defense. We will probably the game, not the player.
At some point, if we start making enough money at the Fiends, we will probably do an LLC incorporation if there's a reason to do it, to where it protects us from not getting as much tax money stolen from us or you know, limits our liability of someone who wants to abuse the legal system to come after us for free speech. We'll probably do that.
You have to play the game because it's a monopoly game. The state imposes the game on you, so you have to play it. We are advocating for there to be a choice of games you get to play to where you can opt out of the monopoly game. That's all we're asking for. And then I think then you have have a sense of a voluntary choice in what game you play. And if the game is corrupt, then people just won't play it.
I love that Leary said that America is the greatest mafia in the world and he loves America. That kind of is reminiscent to me of another good, I don't know if you could call him a conservative, but Boston Tea Party, who said about 15 or 16 years ago that America is the sickest, is the healthiest patient in the cancer ward. And we're going to interview him at some point and ask him, does he still feel that way? And he's someone that a lot of patriots look up to, and we dig his stuff. And he was actually really, his book, You and the Police, was my catalyst to become a libertarian overnight, basically. I read that book and I was like, wait, what do you mean the police aren't on your side and their job is to put you in prison? I get, okay, really? All right. And then I read the whole thing in one sitting and read about something called open carry. And I didn't know what that was. And I lived in California and was really frustrated that I couldn't own, I couldn't take the guns that could protect me from all the bad people in California outside of my house. And I could not get a government permission slip to do it because I lived in LA County and I wasn't a judge or a movie star or a member of the Church of Scientology or a big donor to the sheriff. So, you know, I read about this thing called open carry and looked it up and then read about Wyoming where you can legally open carry guns. And I woke my wife up early in the morning and said, honey, we're moving to Wyoming. And she went, huh, what? And about 9 months later, we bought a house here, or moved here, rented a house for a year, and then bought it. So that was an important book for me. But yeah, the healthiest patient in the cancer ward is America. And we are going to extrapolate in some future episodes and future radio shows here. I want to kind of tease something a little tiny bit. The idea of the danger of patriotism, and that is, there are people listening right now who are like, okay, I thought I liked these guys, but now I don't. They're talking bad about patriotism. Now, here's my thing. I love America. Nima loves America. Nima loves football. I don't even love football, but Nima loves football. You know, we love a lot about America, but patriotism leads to blind acceptance of whatever is going on, and it's co-optable. Obama was criticized for not being patriotic and not wearing a flag pin a long time ago. Now he wears a flag pin 24/7. He's always flanked by flags and he sounds so patriotic. And that tickles the crazy cat spot of Americans who don't really think it through. The crazy cat spot is the point on many cats on their back where if you tickle them or pet them right there, they'll start licking. And it's something that is innate in cats to have mother cats able to get their baby cats to learn to nurse. And the crazy cat spot is anything you can do. It's our saying for something you can do to trigger a reaction in someone without thinking. And the word patriotism is used by Obama and used by Liddy, who people think of as diametrically opposed. No, man, they should be playing golf together. They are of the same ilk.
Well, and their conception of patriotism, to me, what it really boils down to is putting loyalty to some conception of the state, or they often call it the country because they like to confuse that issue. It's putting loyalty to whatever that is above morality and truth. It's basically the my country, right or wrong thing.
Liddy paved the way for the drone program. Think about it. I mean, Liddy's basically in the 60s, his job was, I can kill anybody the president doesn't like without legal recourse. And that's what Obama's like mechanized now, where he can just point on a computer screen or a list and have it done remotely.
And proud of it.
They're both proud of it.
Liddy also, he takes this stance where he says, you know, everybody's interdirected, it's all the decisions we make, and there's no really objective, you know, there's no morality that can be imposed on you from outside. He talks about the difference between something can be legal yet still immoral, and vice versa, something can be illegal and yet still moral. But then he goes on, and at one point this guy comes up to him and says, hey, you shouldn't have an American flag behind you, G. Gordon Liddy, you should have a swastika. Do you remember the Fuhrer laws, when all of a sudden instead of a rule of law it was one man deciding everything? And Liddy says, well, sir, you must be ignorant of your own country's history. Think about all the presidents we consider good presidents and effective presidents who broke the law. And then for some reason, the video kind of cuts out and has some weird edits. But you can hear a few little bits of Liddy saying, remember when blah, blah, blah sent troops down to Mexico? It was in violation of the law. And the video cuts it out, but I assume he meant President Polk. And then he says, and remember when Roosevelt sent naval forces? And then the video cuts out again. I don't know if it's just bad editing or a mistake or if it's a bad YouTube encode or what. But basically, he's saying that, you know, it's okay mass murder is okay. Breaking the rule of law is okay if it's done by a very powerful person for a reason to further power of whatever collective we belong to. And I guess Liddy's stance would be, you know, all the Nazis were okay because they were trying to further their own power. It's just we were trying to further our own power, too. And we won. And so we got to write the history. And it seemed to be what Liddy's stance would be.
And if you believe this as a conservative in the 60s, and a lot of people did, you got to think about, like, now Obama has that power and considers you the enemy because you're a conservative and can use those things on you. I mean, Nixon, it really murder and acid, the road to now. There you go. And it's more the murder than the acid.
We'll be back with the opposite of that.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah, it's the Freedom Fiends live. We're at the last segment of the first hour.
Yeah.
I'm Nima Vedati. We've got Michael W. Dean. We've been discussing all day culture, the road to now via murder and acid, i.e. G. Gordon Liddy and Timothy Leary, respectively.
Yeah, and kudos to whoever put this speaking troupe together because, you know, conflict is the essence of drama. And I mean, some people said, like, why would those two speak together? And I'm like, why wouldn't they? I mean, what do you want? I don't like events where it's just a bunch of people saying what I believe. I like some conflict and like to see them talk back and forth. And there was even some theater in this that was really creepy. There was a guy that stood up that had basically his face had been blown away by a shotgun. He looked like a victim of some horrible calamity. He raised his hand and kind of halted.
See, I didn't notice that at first. I thought that's just how people looked in the 80s. It was like, oh, people look different now. And, oh, okay, he had his face blown off.
All yeah, right. He basically said to Leary, I was shot in the face by people on LSD using a shotgun, and how do you feel about being responsible for this? And Leary's like, what? And Leary's like, did this happen in Vietnam? And he's like, no, it happened in America, in my town. I was shot in the face by people who took your LSD because you told them to and shot me in the face. And Leary, first of all, I think this was either a setup by Liddy or the filmmaker. Probably Liddy, because the filmmaker is pretty sympathetic to Leary's cause.
Well, it could have just been the guy's, you know, legion or whatever group, social organization, his Elks group that hates LSD and Leary and put him up to it, too. It could have been anybody that put him up to it and gave him a talking point.
Yeah, but he was definitely put up to it because he basically recited something he'd memorized. And then when Leary asked him a question about it, he recited it again.
He said the same thing again.
He did it three times. He didn't have any other answers, you know. And
right. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Total Recall, where you can just say 2 weeks over and over again.
Two weeks.
Yep. And, you know, Leary kind of took the bait. I mean, Leary is a very kind soul, and you can see this from this. And I was thinking about how I would have responded to this. Leary was like, you know, the guy was like, how do you feel about what you've done? And Leary just said, I feel very sad. And I don't think Leary even felt sad responsible, because he wasn't. I think he felt sad for the guy and Leary.
That somebody got shot in the
face. Yeah, Leary was a very gentle soul. Whereas I would have been like, you built that. I didn't do that. I don't go to neighborhoods. I don't go unarmed to neighborhoods where acid-eating zombies tote shotguns. You're insane. But I'm not as kind of a soul as Leary, but I would not have fallen for that, man. That was really, wow. That was a low blow.
Well, it's interesting that that Liddy didn't come to Leary's defense in that case, because Liddy was all about how individuals make their own choices and they're inner-directed, and that's the way humans work.
Like a lot of people who call themselves conservatives but really aren't, Liddy loves to pick and choose when he has his values and when he throws them out the window. And a really good example is Leary. Basically, okay, Liddy gives this stirring speech about why there shouldn't be gun control that I could not argue with a bit of it. It could have come out of my mouth. Everything he said made sense. And then Leary said, you know, everything you just said about guns applies to drugs. And it was true. It was true. Like, okay, outlawing them will only take them away from honest people. Outlawing them won't make them go away. There's no reason to outlaw things that should be a personal choice. And
they're inanimate objects. Liddy says, I could put a loaded revolver on a stool here on this stage, and a million years later, as long as no human goes and touches it and points it at somebody else, it won't harm anybody.
The same thing's true of drugs. Yeah, the same thing's true of drugs. And Leary made that argument, and Liddy's like, no, it's not the same. And we're like, the fiends are like, it's absolutely the same, man. And if you have integrity on one issue but not another issue, you don't have integrity.
Yep. Consistency. And, you know, one thing that struck me about both of them, because they both kind of get some things half right or a little bit right, or even some little pieces completely right. But what they're missing is the non-aggression principle. Both of them need that. And it seems to me like they're sailing in the Atlantic with no compass for the fact that they have no non-aggression principle to speak of. They don't have that overriding thing to tell them what's wrong and what's right that can be applied consistently across every issue.
Yeah. Liddy's job was violating the non-aggression principle, and Leary just didn't quite get it. He was kind of swimming around it, but didn't get it. In part two, in hour two of the Freedom Fiends, we're going to sew this up a little bit. We've talked about a bad conservatives, G. Gordon Liddy, and we're going to talk about some good conservatives in hour two. People like Frank Zappa, Boston Tea Party, the Stuart Brand of the Whole Earth Catalog, and some other self-identified or considered by others conservatives who are good and consistent.
Yeah. Yes. So stick with us. We're going to take a short trip to the market.
Fiends, hour two coming up.
Now that's how to do a closing bumper.
On our end or your end?
Your end.
Or both. Oh. You mean, in other words, don't stop talking. Yeah, basically, just remember it goes longer. Yeah.
It goes on forever.
Yep.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum and it's got gardening tips. That's badquaker.com.
Welcome one and all to the Freedom Fiends Live Sunday Show. It is June 23rd. I am Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. What's up, Michael?
Hey, I am broadcasting from Windowless Bunker in Beast Lake, Wyoming, right up the street from Beast Lick. Wait, did I switch it from what I claimed last time? I forget.
Maybe your lies don't matter anymore, Michael.
Because I have the truth behind me, like G. Gordon Liddy. And we want to talk a little bit more about G. Gordon Liddy and Timothy Leary and their wonderful movie together and how it led to all the problems we have today. Liddy had the solution, and it wasn't LSD. It was self-ownership. And the hippies said, hey, that sounds like a good idea. Let's get the government to put that into place. And that led to Obama. And Liddy basically talked long and hard about individual ownership and how you should be responsible for yourself. And I couldn't disagree with a second of what he said. And then he talked about why we need to pass laws against individual ownership of things we don't like, and why it's okay for him to murder, you know, put out mafia type hits on people who disagreed with him. Now, why was he doing that? We didn't go into that quite.
Well, we were wondering, why can he be such an individualist and yet still be so tied to this concept of the state and so loyal to it? And he sort of hints at it. He talks about how there were 2,000 bombings in 1 year in the U.S. against the government in the late 60s.
And there were. And some of the people doing those bombings helped Obama get elected. Literally, he's talking about the weather underground. And this is why violence doesn't work, okay? If people think they can shoot their way to liberty, that was tried in the 60s, man. Bombs are bigger than guns, and 2,000 things were blown up in the 60s. Now, they weren't going after humans. They were going after buildings. But over in Germany, the Red Army faction was going after humans, like riding up on politicians they didn't like at a red light and full auto blowing them away, killing everybody in the car, or doing home invasions on politicians they didn't like, or, you know, journalists who were backing the state and not what they felt was the truth. The Red Army faction did that all day long, every day, to the point where when a bunch of them were thrown in prison, the next generation would come up and do the same thing. I mean, 10 or 12 years of this, different waves of Red Army faction murdering government officials in Germany didn't change a thing for the better and led to more government in Germany. And basically, the bombings in the U.S. led to more government in America, Liddy authorizing things that led to the drone program, Nixon doing the same. And
well, this was how Liddy justified his actions. He would say things, you know, basically his stance was, well, my country, my concept of this country that I am a part of is under attack. And so my loyalty dictates that I must fight back. And he would fight back against anybody. He would collectivize the opposition to the point where he would put out assassination attempts and hits on journalists, you know, to where he would burglarize advocates of LSD. He would take aggressive actions against anybody that he collectivized in this against America counterculture movement.
Yeah, and to tie it all together full circle, the people doing the bombings that he's talking about were mostly the group called the Weather Underground. William Ayers, who was doing some of the bombings himself, helped Obama get elected, was a friend of Obama early on when they were doing community organizing. And, you know, Obama basically used him to get elected, then threw him under the bus and said, I don't know that guy. That's someone from the neighborhood I didn't really, I met him once, I don't know him. But that led to Obama getting elected. And, you know, the bombings, instead of them being against government buildings, which we don't agree with, and Leary didn't agree with, it led to the guy running the country having the computer Kel Flanders type drone abilities to where he can just think that someone should be dead on the other side of the world or anywhere, and they are.
Right. And the root of the problem to me is the collectivism, the collective punishment of people because they belong to some ideology, some group, some nation, some culture, some ethnicity. It's collectivizing people. And the people who are blowing things up and the people who are like, well, we need some kind of violent revolution. Or like Liddy was saying, there were people that were killing cops just because they were wearing a blue uniform. Ben Stone attacks this and says this is not it doesn't jive with the non-aggression principle. You can't be, you know, anti-state, anti-collectivism, and do these kinds of things because then you're the same. You're no better. You're not. You're doing what we're fighting against.
We want to make it very clear. We do not advocate, and we are absolutely against violence against people or government buildings. We don't like that. We don't co-sign it. We're against it. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, is against it. Free Talk Live are against it. I heard them talking with a guy who was almost advocating that kind of stuff. I forget his name, but
Christopher Cantwell.
Yeah. And there's you know, there's a lot of people saying that guy is not good for liberty. And on the other hand, there's people saying he's a COINTELPRO agent, that he's a government agent trying to stir up derision. I don't know. I have no idea. That's the two theories out there. But he is not advocating what most libertarians or, you know, all libertarians are advocating right now.
Well, here's the thing, too. Violence like that, it is not just the violent aspect of it. It's the initiation of force. It's literally the definition of violating the non-aggression principle. Yeah. Just because somebody is wearing a blue uniform or is a cop or is a desk jockey at the DMV, just because they are a functionary of the state doesn't mean they can have the retribution of the state, because at that very moment when you go attack them, they could be doing nothing wrong as an individual. And so you attacking them, you're the aggressor, you're the bad person, you're the immoral one if you do it just because they are working for the state.
To make it clear, if I didn't make it clear, Free Talk Live were saying that guy was wrong. He was on the show live at Porkfest. They were just interviewing people walking by, and that guy sat down, and Free Talk Live were saying, no, violence is not the answer. You know, Ian Freeman has a really interesting view on guns and self-defense, and it's interesting because it's not common. Most people are either like, well, you shouldn't own a gun. If someone bothers you, you call the police and they'll come fix it. Or, you know, a lot of those people believe if you own a gun, you're part of the problem. Then there's people like us who own guns and are like, yeah, if somebody ran up into my house, I would shoot them because they would be a threat to me. And that is ethical. And in most states, and the states you and I live in, pretty much that's legal self-defense. If someone runs up into your house or steps to you with a knife, Ian owns a gun, doesn't carry it, is totally into gun ownership. All his friends walk around, a lot of his friends walk around open carrying in his house. He has no problem with it. He owns a gun, but he doesn't take it out and shoot it much. And he feels like violence is never the answer except in self-defense. And he says, even then, only in extreme cases. And I don't know what that means. And maybe we'd have to interview him. But he was talking about how, like, all humans are interconnected. It was kind of this Timothy Leary, like, kind of hippie idea of, like, you know, if you're shooting someone who's coming at you, you're shooting. I don't know what he means by it. Of if someone came out with a knife, he'd try to talk him out of it or what. I would like to ask him. But it wasn't the usual, yeah, I carry a gun, and if someone comes at me, I'd shoot him. But it wasn't the, oh, you should never shoot any person because they're all wonderful. You know, it was a weird kind of centrist, or not even centrist, just not the usual view, and I liked it.
Well, see, here's the thing is you don't know what you're going to do in the heat of the moment, so it's hard to plan things like that out. But I do kind of feel, and I'm a proponent of considering somebody else as sick. You know, in AA, they say, you know, the people you feel are attacking you, often they're just spiritually, emotionally, they're sick themselves. And so you think of them with sympathy at first. You know, if you can't get around it and in the end you have to use force to protect yourself, that's fine. But it should be proportional, I think. And it should also, you should keep in mind that, hey, maybe they're sick and maybe they just want somebody to help them.
An example I can think of is my wife and I were watching the news. And we saw something recently about somewhere somebody came home and there was a stranger showering in their shower. And, you know, we had a discussion of, like, would that be legal self-defense to shoot him? Would it be ethical? And the decision we came to was it would likely be legal to shoot them, but we would not do it. If someone's naked in your shower, they don't have a weapon. You know, you point a gun at them and capture them and, you know, throw a towel at them and tell them to go in the other room and sit in a chair that you pick until the police get there. You don't shoot them for being naked in your shower. Although legally you probably could in Wyoming.
Well, every situation is unique, and I think a smart person, a moral person, looks at the situation first before making a decision. Now, obviously, there are heat-of-the-moment things, and, you know, that's a different situation. But me and my wife were out hiking the other day, and it was getting to be really dark. You know, we got lost. My wife is pregnant. It was dark. We were in the middle of nowhere, and the only way we could get back to our car was going through this barbed wire through some property. Now, it was open property. There was no house on it. I don't know if it was part of a ranch or something, but we made the decision to sneak through the barbed wire, to crawl under it. You know, I would lift it up for her, and then I would try to go under it myself as she lifted it up for me. And yeah, we were invading somebody's property. We could have gotten shot. But I would hope that whoever sees that property would think, oh, it's just two hikers. I'm going to keep my eye on them and watch them leave my property again after they enter it.
Yep.
There was also a case recently in Texas that was a huge hubbub on the internet. This man was acquitted of any murder charges, even manslaughter charges. What had happened was apparently he had paid for an escort service and expected to get sex out of it, but she tried to leave without giving the sex after he had paid the $150 or whatever, saying, hey, you know, it's just an escort service. I can't legally give you the sex. You know, it could happen maybe, but that's not really the rules of the thing. And he was like, no. I paid for this. You're going to give me the sex. And the reason that people gave for him being acquitted was that in Texas at night, you can defend your property with lethal force. And so he was defending his $150 with the lethal force.
That's wrong, though. It totally ignores
the proportionality of the situation. Yeah. You know, is her life worth $150? Now, if she had fought back and had attacked him and he was defending his life, then yeah, maybe. But I think people need to realize that, you know, that's part of the problem with laws as written by humans instead of, you know, being discovered by humans and laws really being, well, how do we apply the law here rather than this is the law, it says it, so you're okay, you get off scot-free for killing this person for $150.
Yep. And G. Gordon Liddy, to tie him up in a neat little package with a pretty bow on it, like I said, he is funny and he's a good talker, and I understand why he was a big hit on talk radio and I guess a hero to some conservatives, but I don't really get that because he wasn't really truly conservative what I think of it as. And we're going to talk about that later about what makes a good conservative. But there's a scene in there where he's in a gun range talking about how great wheel guns are. And I like wheel guns. I like revolvers. And he says, at one point, the interviewer says, have you ever shot anybody? And he kind of paused and laughed and said, nice try, but there's no statute of limitations on that sort of activity. Which basically means, yeah, I've shot people probably, but I'm not going to say it. That's what I think he wants you to think, whether he did or not. But,
right,
you know.
Right.
Yeah. And Leary was not anti-gun. He's not against guns. He's against government guns. And he talks about how guns are an inanimate object. So we're going to talk about some good conservatives in the next segment of the Freedom Fiends on Genesis Communications Network.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Yeah. It's Freedom Fiends. That's us. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed our trip to the market there.
Yeah.
Up next, we teased a little bit about some other what Michael calls good conservatives. You know, good self-professed conservatives, I think we should say.
Or considered by others.
The definition of... Or that, yeah. Because conservative's kind of a vague, amorphous distinction, man. And it means different things to different people.
Well, I think the best conservative was Ron Paul. I really think he was the epitome of, if you're going to follow the Constitution and say you're a constitutionalist, that guy did it to the letter. And he had consistency. He still does, even as a non-politician. I like him better now that he's not stinking up Congress with goodness.
I've heard it described by somebody. Oh, I forget his name, but he writes for the American Conservative Magazine, which is actually anti-war. It's a really good publication over there. It's what Justin Raimondo edits, and he said that to him, conservatism means preserving the culture of the status quo, basically.
Yeah, which I don't like. That means we're not open to new ideas. That means we want to legislate a Norman Rockwell America, which is really isn't very conservative to me. I mean, I really liked that Ron Paul, you know, I mean, they tried to pin him. Fox News tried to make him look bad in the interviews. They said, so do you think heroin should be legal? And his basic answer was, if you're a Christian and you don't want your religion outlawed, you shouldn't want to outlaw drugs. Drugs are a medical problem or a medical issue. They shouldn't be a legal or moral issue. And that's absolutely true. And, you know, I mean, AA.
Well, what about Ron Paul makes you say he's conservative then? Because to me, you know, conservative is about picking some point in history and saying, well, life should be like that.
No, man. It's about, you know? To me, being a good conservative and the definition of what conservatism is. I think Grover Norquist is a good conservative. He wants to reduce the size of government till he can drown it in a bathtub.
But why? How is that conservative? What point in history are you looking back at and saying, hey, that's it? I mean, because then why does the definition mean that?
That's true. Because conservative sounds like you want to freeze time at some point or go back to some frozen slice of time. And there is no point in America where things were great for everybody. I mean, you could look at, well, Jefferson was great, but he owned people. And, you know, people look at George Washington was a great American hero, but George Washington murdered Americans a few years after the ink was dry on the Constitution for not paying taxes on liquor, on something they owned and produced. You know, he killed Americans.
And Jefferson said good things, but when he was president, didn't he use the Navy to enforce tariffs and do other things that violate the non-aggression principle?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think we've said it before, it is a false dichotomy. I mean, why should we be, you know, progressives like to tend to say, well, we're for progress. You know, it's in the word. We're about making the future better through progress. And conservatives are like, well, we're about making the good things from the past here in the present also exist. And I think, why does it have to be past, present? Why can't it just be right? Why can't it be the right answer at the time and trying to figure out how natural law plays out and how human interaction plays out? Why go for the past and the future? Why not think about what's right and what's wrong?
I like to look at Frank Zappa as a good example. Why don't you read this thing I just sent you? Frank Zappa, a lot of people will be like, that's not a conservative. That's a long-haired hippie freak musician. But first of all, Zappa didn't do drugs, and he fired anybody in his band who did drugs. Not that drug – and he was against outlawing drugs, but he just personally didn't use them, really didn't like dealing with people on them, and ran his company – as such, where it wasn't drug tests, it's like in a rock band. I've been in rock bands. You can tell if people are using drugs. You're living with them. You're living with them and you're on stage with them and you know their rhythms and how they work, stoned or straight, stoned or sober. And if they are stoned, people are going to know it. So read this little bit about Frank Zappa here and why I think he's a good conservative.
Describing his political views, Frank Zappa categorized himself as a, quote, practical conservative. He favored limited government and low taxes. He also stated that he approved of national defense, Social Security, and other federal programs, but only if recipients of such programs are willing and able to pay for them. He favored capitalism, entrepreneurship, and independent business, stating that musicians could make more from owning their own business than from collecting royalties. He opposed communism, stating, quote, a system that doesn't allow ownership has to put it middle a fatal design flaw. I think that's a typo. Zappa expressed opinions on censorship when he appeared on CNN's Crossfire TV series and debated issues with Washington Times commentator John Lofton in 1986. Crossfire existed in 86?
Really? Yeah. And it used to be a really respected show. It's not so much anymore. But, you know, that whole description, I mean, that could fit Rush Limbaugh, but not in everything he actually does, except for the censorship. He kind of likes that. But we'll be back from the market soon on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination.
Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
It's the Freedom Fiends Live. It is Sunday, June 23rd. I'm Nima Vadati. We've got Michael W. Dean over there shopping for windowless bunkers. How you doing, Michael?
Yeah, that's an ad that I really kind of resonated with. I actually looked at their website, and that's some cool stuff, man, that windowless bunker ad.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind one of those.
I'm not ready to buy one yet. I need to get some property. I was thinking of getting some property out in the country now and putting buying one of those windowless bunkers. And, you know, though, in Wyoming, people probably steal it. I mean, they don't steal copper cable here, but they probably would steal. Well, they probably do, but, you know, they probably steal windowless bunkers. Dig them up.
I don't know, man. It'd be kind of hard to steal a windowless bunker.
Not really, man, because people out in the country in Wyoming own equipment you could use to dig one up and transport it. Then I'd have to do a FOIA request to the drones to find out the private drones
the license plate number the oil industry
has here. Yeah.
Yeah.
So William Smithers on The Simpsons, who's you know, Mr. Burns'
Waylon Smithers.
Yeah, yeah. Mr. Burns' right hand man. He describes his job description at one point as light typing and lying to Congress. And we're gonna play a little clip coming up here that's actually Frank Zappa, whose job description I guess was guitar shredding and telling the truth to Congress. So go ahead and play this clip of Frank Zappa. Let me set it up though. There was this thing called the PMRC, which sounds like the name of some guerrilla radical terrorist group from South America, but it's actually the Parents Music Resource Center, which was a bunch of nanny old ladies headed by Tipper Gore, wife of Al Gore, who started something.
I was going to say it sounded like some North Korean intelligence
agency.
Yeah.
The PMRC, it kind of acted like one. Their job was what they formed for was basically to censor rock and roll records from cussing and satanic influence and drug use. And they started with something they said was voluntary, but they were trying to like basically make it law that it be put into place. Now, this is what led to rock and roll records having stickers on them or warning stickers, which in that day, bands were worried about it, but actually now they say like a lot of kids won't buy a record unless it has the sticker. It's like the seal of approval. And my band, Bomb, when we were signed to Warner Brothers, was one of the first bands that had to have that sticker on. And here's what is interesting about what happened was we were really against it, and our drummer wanted to put in the artwork a swastika sticking out from behind it as a protest, saying, this is like the Nazis. Now, the people at Warner Brothers didn't get that as a protest. They just, you know, they had the people who owned Warner Brothers, some of their parents had been killed by the Nazis in Germany. And they really didn't like it. They didn't get it. They didn't let us do it. They put the record out anyway, and they just didn't promote it because they didn't want to deal with censoring a record, because at that time they were standing up and pretending to be, we're for free speech. Like, at the same time, Ice-T came out with his heavy metal song, Cop Killer, and there were police groups and the FBI trying to get Warner Brothers to not do this, and Warner Brothers was like, we stand behind the First Amendment of the United States, except if some band that isn't selling a lot of records yet wants to put a swastika as a protest, you know, basically. So go ahead and play.
When it makes us money, yeah.
Go ahead and play this kind of longish, wonderful clip of Frank Zappa testifying for Congress. I may cut it off at some point when he starts talking about how we need to spend more money on music education and less on sports, because that's not really the answer that I want. I want to censor Zappa to the conservatism I want. Basically just stop him when he starts sounding like an idiot.
Right. And be wary, there's some tape noise in this, just like there was in our last clip too that we Tim Leary.
Yeah, pre-digital, back when tape was the thing.
Right.
People
had to here you go.
Yep.
Inherent in the proposal's design. It is my understanding that, in law, First Amendment issues are decided with a preference for the least restrictive alternative. In this context, the PMRC demands are the equivalent of treating dandruff by decapitation. No one has forced Mrs. Baker or Mrs. Gore to bring Prince or Sheena Easton into their homes. Thanks to the Constitution, they are free to buy other forms of music for their children. Apparently, they insist on purchasing the works of contemporary recording artists in order to support a personal illusion of aerobic sophistication. Ladies, please be advised, the $8.98 purchase price does not entitle you to a kiss on the foot from the composer or performer in exchange for a spin on the family Victrola. Taken as a whole, the complete list of PMRC demands reads like an instruction manual for some sinister kind of toilet training program to housebreak all composers and performers because of the lyrics of a few. Ladies, how dare you? The ladies' shame must be shared by the bosses of the major labels who, through the RIAA, chose to bargain away the rights of composers, performers, and retailers in order to pass HR 2911, the blank tape tax, a private tax levied by an industry on consumers for the benefit of a select group within that industry. Is this a consumer issue? You bet it is. The major record labels need to have HR 2911 whiz through a few committees before anybody smells a rat. One of them is chaired by Senator Thurman. Is it a coincidence that Mrs. Thurman is affiliated with the PMRC? I can't say she's a member because the PMRC has no members. Their secretary told me on the phone last Friday that the PMRC has no members, only founders. I asked how many other DC wives are non-members of an organization that raises money by mail, has a tax-exempt status, and seems intent on running the Constitution of the United States through the family paper shredder. I asked her if it was a cult. Finally, she said she couldn't give me an answer and that she had to call their lawyer. While the wife of the Secretary of Treasury recites, "Gonna drive my love inside you," and Senator Gore's wife talks about bondage and oral sex at gunpoint on the CBS Evening News, people in high places work on a tax bill that is so ridiculous, the only way to sneak it through is to keep the public's mind on something else. Porn rock. Is the basic issue morality? Is it mental health? Is it an issue at all? The PMRC has created a lot of confusion with improper comparisons between song lyrics, videos, record packaging, radio broadcasting, and live performances. These are all different mediums, and the people who work in them have a right to conduct their business without trade restraining legislation whipped up like an instant pudding by the wives of Big Brother. Is it proper that the husband of a PMRC non-member founder person sits on any committee considering business pertaining to the blank tape tax or his wife's lobbying organization? Can any committee thus constituted find facts in a fair and unbiased manner? This committee has three that we know about: Senator Danforth, Senator Packwood, and Senator Gore. For some reason, they seem to feel there is no conflict of interest involved. Children in the vulnerable age bracket have a natural love for music. If, as a parent, you believe they should be exposed to something more uplifting than sugar walls, support music appreciation programs in schools. Why haven't you considered your child's need for consumer information? Music appreciation costs very little compared to sports expenditures. Your children have a right to know that something besides pop music exists.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go, Frank. That would not happen today. They would not let someone who's going to be directly affected by a law like that come in and tell Congress what time it is.
Unless it's somebody calling for the law, like more money or less budget cuts, they would let them go on and cry into a microphone about how they can't feed their welfare kids.
Yeah. Boy, you sounded like Rush Limbaugh there for a second. You're a good conservative. Right, he does. And my hat's off to Frank Zappa for this. And by the way, he was also a musician and a very, very talented one and very kind of freaky. He does a song that we're going to play, but it just wouldn't sound good over radio because the audio is whispered. It's called The Central Scrutinizer, and it's where we take the term central scrutinizer from, meaning the industrial surveillance state that we've been talking about for 2 years. I mean, it's not news to us, but his term, the central scrutinizer, was for the PMRC. It was for people who wanted to censor him. And there was kind of a joke of like, they're spying on me, which, you know, people would say is conspiracy theory then, but truth now. So yeah, Zappa's a good conservative. Well,
he totally gets it right that nobody's making you buy those albums that you're upset about. Nobody's making your kids buy them. And if you give your kids an allowance, you can give them a caveat of, hey, you're not allowed to spend this money that I'm giving you on certain things. That's your implicit contract with your children. Or not. Or you could be very free about it. You know, my mom sat down and watched Terminator 2 and Total Recall with me when I was 7. And I saw 3 boobs, and she explained to me that women actually have 2. You know, it wasn't a big deal. But it should be up to each individual. If you get your panties in a wad about it, then you have the power. Why go lobby Congress so that everybody has to follow the same rules that you wish you could impose on your own family? Just impose it on your own family.
The PMRC was basically attempting to interfere with interstate commerce, which is what the FBI is supposed to crack down on. But the government,
is that what they're supposed to do?
That's what they do. That's their purpose, is cracking down on people interfering with interstate commerce. That's their mission statement. Now, the government loves to interfere with interstate commerce. And here's the thing. If you're a conservative and you don't like, I don't like that song, Sugar Wall. I love that he said Sugar Walls. That's dating this reference.
Was that a song? I don't know what that is.
It was a dirty rap song or something. I don't know. Who knows, man? I don't know what that is either. But if you don't like that kind of stuff, don't let it in your house, man. And homeschool your kids. We're all for homeschooling kids. It was a Sheena Easton song. And Prince did a cover of it, too. It was composed by Prince. Yeah, Prince was, like, the enemy. And I'm thinking, like, Prince is quaint these days, you know, compared to what's out now.
Yeah.
And really, okay, here's why conservatives or anybody shouldn't be in favor of this kind of law that PMRC was trying to pass. First of all, it can be used against you later. If you can outlaw rock records, there's going to be wording in that record that's going to be able to be used, or in the mood of that record.
Wording
that law.
In the law.
Well, yeah. That's going to be able to outlaw, you know, Bible study in homeschooling. They'll use the same stuff against you. Second of all, it's not moral, because you are pointing a government gun at somebody to do something, to prevent something where there's no harm, where you as the parent have the power to keep your kids from it. Thirdly, there are unintended consequences, like kids only buying records that have the sticker that says there's cussing on this record. Like people going, okay, that really got someone's attention with that sweet little song, Sugar Walls. I'm going to write a song called Beep, 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 which is basically all rap music now. You know, the PMRC basically created today's rap music in a way. They pushed it to where people said, okay, they're getting a rise out of this. Ladies are complaining in Congress. And, yeah, man.
Yeah, Eminem has whole verses about Tipper Gore in some of his records.
And you didn't know who that was. You're like, I don't know what that is.
I didn't know she was a congresswoman.
She's not.
Is she a congresswoman?
No, okay. She was
the
wife. She's
just Al Gore's wife?
Yeah, basically this was a bunch of wives of Hollywood, of DC bigwigs. You know, and the wives just probably withheld sex and nagged at their husbands to the point where they let them have their moment in Congress.
All right, we'll be back. Plenty more Freedom Fiends.
Not plenty more, just a little more. For our tweak and review on the Freedom Fiends.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Oh,
Welcome back, folks. Thanks for sticking with us. This is the Freedom Fiends. We are at the last segment of our live Sunday, June 23rd show. As such, it is time for the Freedom Fiends Tweak and Review, and we're just going to get right into it. So we talked about Murder and Acid, The Road to Now, a movie that we titled it that. It's actually called something else. It's boring. But it's basically G. Gordon Liddy and Timothy Leary. Now, Liddy believes in individual agency and talks about it, talks about being interdirected, and talks about inner morality and the difference between something being illegal and something being immoral, and they're not the same thing. Human action in an almost Misesian sense. Yet, he's a hired gun for the state. What's up with that? And then Timothy Leary, he goes on a rant. He believes the state is the main involuntary institution right now. He says all states are mafias. He says the American state is the biggest mafia, but he, you know, it's his favorite mafia, apparently. Yet, he promotes some aspects of the state that he does like. He promotes NASA. He promotes corporations. He says these are all things that he likes, even though they're a part of the state. They suffer from the same problems of involuntariness that he complains about with the state. Frank Zappa rails against censorship. You know, he goes off on that whole PMRC thing. Yet, in his solution, he talks about how state schools should fund music appreciation programs.
We also didn't talk about the fact, I will interject, that the PMRC was bipartisan. It was run by Al Gore's wife, a Democrat, and James Baker's wife. James Baker's a Reagan Republican. And we've pointed out that when the things they're bipartisan on are the worst things that want to hurt you the most. And the PMRC only went after rock music. It didn't go after country music, which I love country music, and especially the stuff that's full of, I mean, it is as full of murder, sex, infidelity, and sometimes even the supernatural as any rock music. But Al Gore was a representative from Tennessee, so he didn't want to go after the country music industry.
He didn't want to make Nashville angry. So to me, what they all lack, where they could all benefit from and bring some consistency to their arguments, is the non-aggression principle. They're missing that compass, and they're lost at sea. You know, and this is what the fiends and pretty much all libertarians worth their salt are promoting as the lens to view the world through. And it's because through the non-aggression principle, which is basically it is immoral, it is wrong, you should avoid these things which initiate the use of force. If you're the one to throw the first punch, so to speak, then you're the villain, no matter if you're wearing a government uniform, no matter if your intentions are good and you're going to use that stolen money to fund music appreciation programs or to buy food for old ladies, it's still wrong. Now, through this prism, self-ownership is an obvious thing. So are property rights, which is basically just an extension of self-ownership. And through this, you get moral consistency. So if Leary understood and knew or had even heard about the non-aggression principle, he wouldn't call for NASA to promote space exploration. He would call on those baby boomers he said would free the world. He would call on them to become scientists and to learn about space exploration on their own and to do some fundraising and raise voluntary funds. He would understand that somebody like Richard Branson, who's doing that right now, would come about. And he would say, hey, you know, somebody is going to find a way to make money on space exploration, and that's what's going to build the new frontier for us.
And there's, you know, just not just the morality of it, but the unintended consequence. NASA having unlimited amounts of money in the 60s led to the drone program. That's NASA, man. That is NASA. NASA and the Air Force.
NASA was a part of the military and is a part of the military industrial complex. Yeah. You know, Liddy, if he understood the non-aggression principle and still understood what he does and did about individual agency, which is basically self-ownership, he wouldn't have become a hired goon for the state. He wouldn't think that it was okay to murder anybody in his way, as he said, on his way to burglarize a journalist or whatever it was for the state. He would realize that, hey, just because I'm in the employ of this collective doesn't give me any extra rights. It doesn't make it right for me to murder and burglarize.
You know, it's interesting. Both those guys were in prison, and Liddy got out of prison because a president pardoned him, Clinton, and Leary got out of prison by breaking out using information that he gleaned by gaming a psychological prison evaluation that he helped design when he was a psychologist at Harvard. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me of that scene in Idiocracy where he gets out of prison by just saying, oh, no, I'm supposed to be in the line of people getting out of prison.
Yeah.
And the prison guard's like, oh, stupid, you're in the wrong line. Go over there.
Freedom Fiends, we'll be back next week, next Saturday and Sunday, and midweek.
Words.
With Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about The Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.